Hello, hello. My name is Jada, and I'm a part of the Educational Technology Graduate Program.
My name is Cassie, and I am a student in the art education program at Adelphi. This is status update, social media users feeling conflicted. And today we're going to be speaking about social media.
So, first, I wanted to start with what I thought of Lusoy's article. Something that I took away from this article is that social media connects us. You're able to express yourself as an individual online.
There are digital networks that help us maintain connections with some of our peers and friends of friends. With social media, some of the affordances allow us to reproduce our own ideas, transform content. With that, you're able to connect anytime, anywhere. It's unpredictable the type of information that you'll encounter online.
Social media is not only about connections, but it's also about how you present yourself and express yourself on social media. It's about how you represent your ideas and interests to your fellow friends and followers online. Cassie and I could probably talk about this topic of social media because I feel this topic is so connected to our generation. But I want to know, what effects do you think that social media is impacting our lives?
So there are some positive and negative effects of social media. Some of the positive are the monetary effects that it has, especially on social media influencers. Social media influencers have made their own career out of it. It has made jobs for people and has helped big chains and companies get their products trending. And then also has created trends that help spread awareness and advice. There's the trend of the ice bath for ILS to raise money and GoFundMes.
I agree, Cassie. What we see on social media right now is influencers making money off of using digital platforms, and they're able to connect to different groups. Another positive we see on social media is you're able to connect to different communities. For example, on Facebook, they have different groups. They'll have mom groups or community groups wherever you might live, or even career groups. So then you can find different individuals that you can relate to or ask for advice. Social media is accessible and convenient, and it has so many different tools and informations available for us to use. For example, I know I love looking up different cooking videos and finding some of my different interests, and you can find workouts or you can find something motivational. The first thing, when we wake up, we're always looking on our screens. We're trying to interact with social media in some form, whether it's looking at a video or listening to a video, is an aspect that is a part of our lives. Although we have some positive aspects that are a part of social media, there are some negative attributes that we also see in our daily lives.
On social media, there's such an influx of information and so much information spewed at you all at once that it's almost hard to distinguish what's true and what's not. And we've spoken about misinformation and disinformation in class, and there's a lot of false narratives placed out there, and it's hard to tell where you're getting legitimate information from. Especially during election years and during the pandemic, and just when there's such big social issues in the world, you want to make sure that you're spreading the right kind of information, but also receiving it.
Yeah, Cassie, online, I feel some viewers spread information and they perceive that it's right, but it's dangerous. Another example of some negative aspects of social media is individuals participating in dangerous trends, such as the cinnamon challenge. Kids online were recording themselves swallowing cinnamon, and they were sharing their reactions. This trend was spreading massively online and even reached the news, to whereas they were warning people against participating in an act like that.
Yeah, I remember when that was going viral and we were hearing about those stories and kids eating Tide Pods, trying different spicy peppers, and it was these trends that everyone was following on YouTube.
According to the article, they mentioned how there's visibility and that just means that there's exposure to large amount of information publicly on these different networks and different social media platforms. And I feel although you're able to express yourself as a unique individual, at times some youth, they're following others and not considering the consequences or dangerous aspects to the challenges or trends that they want to participate in. Online, everything is not as it's seen. It's an illusion. People are misinterpreting what they're viewing as something real. Some youth are misled and they're trying to follow what they see because they think it's cool, they want to fit in, or they want to receive some notoriety online, get a lot of likes or some comments, or get attention from maybe a post, a picture, or an activity. Social media gives us freedom to generate and circulate different information. However, with a different flow of information, there is a trend of what subjects will be popular or not popular locally and globally. I feel sometimes what we see on social media is different people weaponizing their cameras to create false narratives. They do this for personal benefit or to even go viral online.
So this kind of leads us into how do people interact and use features of technology like social media? And this is just something that I've noticed just being out and about in the world, paying attention to my surroundings. I feel like the older generation wants a restriction for social media because they're so frustrated with technology because they don't know how to use it.
I agree, Cassie. I feel that some of the older generation has limitations on using digital technology and social media, and they are trying to transfer that limitation to the youth and not give them as much freedom to navigate social media so well and smoothly.
Recently, as of last week, the state of Florida chose to ban kids from using social media. It was passed by the Florida legislature last week. And it requires sites like TikTok and Instagram to deny accounts to users that are under, I think they just changed it to now under 16 instead of 14. But it's forcing a parent's limits on their child's intake when it should be up to the parent's discretion.
Wow, Cassie. To be honest, I'm not really surprised with the governor's actions. But a few things I can say is, why is it that there's always so many examples of the older generation disconnecting from the upcoming youth? They always try to discourage usage of social media until there is personal benefit that they can maybe monetize. I feel that although he says there's a social media ban for young adults, how are they going to monitor that? How will they enforce that? Children could just lie and online, and there's really no verification. It shouldn't be up to the state trying to control young adults' actions. there should be more parent involvement on monitoring the use of what digital media their children are interacting with and what they're maybe creating. And I think there needs to be more training for parents so then they can discuss some of their questions and how they can really understand the changing world around them to prepare the youth instead of limit them.
There are unseen dangers online right now. And right now, in different platforms such as Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, known as X, are showing their best effort in managing false information and dangerous users online.
They need to prepare the youth instead of limit them. They need to give them the tools on how to critically think about what information they're interacting with on social media, to think about what information they want to create or even circulate by reposting on the digital world. We need more solutions on how to make social media safer for all ages to interact with so they can navigate the internet and still find the little joys and positive connections with formal friends and different followers.
Yeah, I think technology is always going to be evolving, and this is just the way that children are brought up. This is the environment that they're used to, and they're used to having social media. And I think that denying that and just stopping that from happening and stopping that access is just not aligning with the evolution of technology. It just goes against what children are used to. And I think it's our job as teachers and parents' job as parents to help them navigate social media and help them learn digital literacy skills and how to be safe online. And then also, it is other people's jobs to be conscious of what they put on the internet and for internet sites and social media sites to have these restrictions that they do, where we can report people for inappropriate behavior, we can block people, we can try our best to eliminate these dangers online to make it safer for our kids.
As we talk about social media, I was also interested in the data of who is using social media. Some of the platforms I explored out there were Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, Twitter, known as X. These are some of the more popular digital platforms among our generation. According to the Pew American Research, this study tracked different age groups in their engagement with these social platforms. It found that among the platforms like Twitter, Snapchat, and TikTok, it showed higher usage in the age ranging from 18 to 29. On the other hand, Facebook showed an increased percentage of engagement with age ranging over 30. Lastly, with platforms like YouTube, I saw a trend of similar percentages from ages ranging from 14 all the way up to 65. What do these numbers reflect and say about social media and engagement amongst our generations? What do you think, Cassie?
The popularity of social media platforms and their correspondence with different age groups that are engaged in them, I'm not too surprised with the numbers and their common engagement with the platforms. Facebook, I could see being used more by an older age group. Usually, the older age groups are using it to stay connected to their families and to their community, whereas the younger generation, I feel, is using platforms like TikTok and Instagram to engage with other people that are around the world and not in their immediate social circle. One of the articles that we had read by Unlusoy, he referenced visibility and how social media shows us what we couldn't see in our personal visual field, which usually gives us restrictions. So we had the ability to see inside somebody else's life, and this has become really appealing for the younger generation.
So something that I'm getting out of your interpretation, Cassie, is that there is an opportunity for different people of all ages to use social media. So if everyone is using it, why is it perceived as bad? I feel like two negative perceptions that are seen connected to social media are the talks of cyberbullying and screen time. The article mentions that social media is a common ground for interaction and social participation. I just think of social media as a tool of where everyone can meet. Instead of having a physical location, we have a mobile device that we can all connect and interact with. Because there's a new common ground for interaction and social participation, I feel that people have taken their mean and insensitive comments that they would maybe gossip behind someone's back or whisper or write in a note. They have transformed that same idea and used that notion with social media. It has turned into cyberbullying and has really hurt different youth.
So as far as cyberbullying goes, we had both listened to a very interesting podcast with an author named Nir Eyal, I think is how you say his name. And he wrote a book called Hooked, and it speaks about the question if social media is addictive or if it's distracting or if it's just our own personal doing. And he references that due to the amount of social media platforms and the engagement in social media, there's been an uptick in teen suicide rates. And this was as of 3 years ago. So we're definitely seeing an increase in social media use and comfortability of children and young adults using their ability to be anonymous behind a screen to cause harm. And as far as screen time goes, how are the youth using their screen time? They're using it for entertainment, they're using it for learning, they're using it for listening while doing another task, hearing each other's opinions, hearing what's going on around the world in current events, and retrieving new information.
I really like how you brought up about the podcast by Nir Eyal. He definitely did bring up some great points in his podcast, and he had some critiques about the social dilemma, and I feel the social dilemma connects to some of the points that we're bringing up, why different individuals are perceiving that social media is bad. They brought up screen time, and I feel the point he brought up was that we have to shift our mindset around screen time to think about if we're not using our phone or interacting with some type of digital media, then we would be more distracted by engaging in a task somewhere in our home. We would be watching TV, or we would find ways to keep ourselves busy because we have a short attention span and something is going to be taking our attention from what we want to do in the moment. I know for myself, I have to be very deliberate about my time when I want to study. I can't have my notifications on. I put on Do Not Disturb because I don't want some sounds to go off to take my attention away from what my goal is. And I think we are seeing our attention just being taken in many directions. And I feel that is something that they missed in the social dilemma.
Something that I definitely thought about after watching The Social Dilemma is how parents are very concerned about their child's screen time because they're exposed to different social media and listening to different videos. But you have to think about how you're defining the screen time. What about if your child is FaceTiming with their grandparents or if they're trying to work on something productive for themselves for school and they're using those videos to learn something? I feel you have to really find the balance of what is positive or really what's negative about screen time. Next, I feel it comes down to self-control, and I feel parents need to shift their mindset and parents need to think consciously about making boundaries and helping guide their children and creating healthy habits to follow so they can set limitations on their use of technology. So when they're interacting with their phones or their tablets or their computers, they can have a limit and know when to step back.
Yeah, I do agree that we use social media as an escape, and it's important for parents and adults to set those limitations for their children. The podcast says that we use social media as an immediate response to discomfort. If we're feeling anxious, we go to social media. If we're feeling fatigued, we go to social media, and we use it as an escape, which I believe is totally accurate and something that I also do. So it's important that we set restrictions and we monitor even our own social media use so that we're not sucked into that rabbit hole.
Yeah, Cassie, I agree. Like the podcast mentioned, yes, our human behavior is to escape discomfort. There's a response to an action. Another example that I really resonated with is if we're lonely, we're going to check Facebook or some other social media platform. If we're unsure on something, we check Google. And we have to think about those responses and actions and check our emotional state. Next, I just want to lead into, how can we connect social media to learning? How can we teach learners to manage an influx of information? I feel it's important, like you mentioned, just to talk to parents and work with parents at workshops so we can give them opportunities to learn ways to manage social media so that they can understand the technology that their child is interacting with.
Yeah, I think it's important for children to be able to utilize social media to enhance their education and learn the skills to handle that influx of information where they're comfortable with navigating things online and they're developing their digital literacy skills. And it's not just our responsibility as teachers, but also for parents to carry it out at home, so that when they come into the classroom, they are prepared. And when they go out into the world, they're prepared for what technology and the digital world has for them.
Yeah, I agree. Technology is here to stay. And I think we definitely need to help prepare the youth to utilize it in the best way they can and really guide parents on assisting their children in that journey. Just like in class, we teach strategies to learn, and we need to teach good self-habits and self-regulations to help decrease some of our distractions and to support our learners emotionally. Thanks for listening to the Status Update Social Media Users Feeling Conflicted podcast. Let us know what you think in VoiceThreads.